national need.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy June. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Ladies first, as we begin a new month of shows, and let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Yay Joint Stars, the champions of the first South Sudan Women's Football League. David Monodunga reports from Juba, South Sudan.
Hundreds of Yay fans turned up in Juba to celebrate and boost the spirits of the small London girls, as they are known locally, otherwise known as the Yay Joint Stars, as they were crowned champions of the first ever FIFA-recognized league in South Sudan. Yay Joint Stars head coach Sonny Harriet Amaka says she wants her team to retain the league title for three straight years.
The journey is not, going to stop today, because you see, as for now, Yay Joint Stars will be added, maybe we'll head it to Kenya for the African, or maybe for CAF Champions League tournament in Kenya. So it means that we have to focus, we have to put more effort so that we perform a lot of duties to these girls to maybe promote them to also perform better. And also, it's not all that might be today. It's still tomorrow. We have to work hard. That has been the champions. We still have to maintain the positions. And we still, to me as a coach for Yay Joint Stars, I make sure next year I'll surprise people that I have to take. I want to maintain it because these strategies are going to be for 4 years. It's going to be played 4 years in South Sudan. And I make sure at least Yay Joint Stars maintain the position 3 times consecutively. That is my target and this is my dream.
Team captain Aikoro Wini, who has been away at school in Uganda, says the players aspire to make the Stars even stronger next season.
We are real happy for Yay Joint Stars, and we are still going to remain there. We are not going to change because we want to fight for our home. We want football to develop in Yay more than the football in the city. We are going to stand. We are going to stand firm, and really want to inspire those guys who are still in Yay to come back. And we made a strong team for Yay Joint Stars. Wherever other players will go back to school, because most of us will study in Uganda, but we still have that love that we have to play for our home team.
The Joint Stars won the league with a total of 33 points and were presented a check for $3,000. The Torit women were runners-up with a total of 26 points, winning $2,000. In individual awards, Bintu United's team captain Chan Thomas was awarded overall best player of the tournament. Juba Superstars team captain Amy Lasso was the league's top scorer with 11 goals, and Yay Joint Stars striker Deborah Adut finished second with 9 goals. The Golden Glove went to Calda Hassin, goalkeeper for the Juba Superstars and the national women's team, the Bright Starlets of South Sudan. Yay Joint Stars will represent South Sudan in the 2021 CAF Women's Champions League Finals in late November in Kenya, where 7 teams will square off through zonal qualifiers, including CECAFA joining the winner of the host nation. Besides host Kenya, Tanzania, South Sudan, Uganda, Ethiopia, Sudan, Eritrea, Djibouti, Rwanda, Burundi, and Zanzibar will all be sending teams to the club competition. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga.
Thanks, David. South Sudan also recently named its first FIBA commissioner for basketball, Aru Ramadan Chan. In an interview with Prince Nesta, Aru talked about his basketball background.
I am currently the FIBA commissioner for South Sudan Basketball Federation. First one ever for our country, our young country. Aru Ramadan is a former basketball player. I played basketball at different levels. So I played basketball in college. I played in USIU for 6 years. That was in the Premier League, in Kenyan Premier League. And then after I finished USIU, I moved to Uganda, where I joined City Oil, City Oilers. I played with them 2 seasons in Uganda. And we won 2 championships. Those 2 seasons in Uganda, top flight, Ugandan Premier League. And then I went back to Kenya, where I joined the Kenya Port Authority. And I played with them 4 seasons, where I won with them 3 championships in Kenya. And then I thought high time now to go back home. And that's when I decided now to come back to South Sudan to help build the basketball culture in South Sudan. And that's where I am right now. And we are doing our level best to bring basketball up to speed in Africa.
Tell me a little bit about your FIBA basketball gig. What does it entail?
In a nutshell, the work of a basketball commissioner is in charge of officiating the game from outside. You know, I oversee the game from the time before it starts to the actual 40 minutes stopping plus 30 minutes after the game. So I am an overseer of the game. That is on court. Now off court here back at home, I'll be running clinics to bring our referees up to speed, you know, because once the referees are up to speed, the game will develop. So that is my mandate right now. That is what I'll be doing.
How long have you been on the job for?
I have been on the job now for less than 2 months since I passed my FIBA examinations. It's been 2 months now.
And how has it been so far, considering South Sudan is a young country and there's a lot that still needs to be done?
There's a lot of work needs to be done. There's a lot of challenges in South Sudan, you know, from all aspects. But I'm up for the challenge because it's my passion. I want to see the game grow. And our chairman is doing a wonderful job so far with the national team. So now we need to bring whatever that is happening at the African level, we have to bring it back home, you know, to the grassroots. You know, it's not easy, but as a team, I have a good team working with me, the Secretary General. We're all working together, and I am more than positive that we are going to get good results within a short time.
FIBA and NBA Africa have actually come together to, you know, develop the Basketball African League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. Are you contented with what you're seeing?
The tournament is amazing. It is a good initiative. It is exposing our African talents to the world. Our boys now have the confidence and have the morale that most of them did not have before. Whatever Ball is doing in Africa is amazing, and we really appreciate, and it's just the beginning. My wish was if Corona was not there, I know how Kigali Arena, 20,000+ people would be filled up with all fans from all around Africa. That was that's something that was going to happen. But unfortunately, we're going to work with what we have so far. It's positive. It's been received worldwide positively.
What do you think this means for the African continent? The tournament being held in Africa, and of course, as far as exposing African players is concerned, what does the tournament mean for the African continent?
The tournament means a lot to Africa, you know. And in a nutshell, for African players, they now have a platform where they can showcase their talent. And I am very sure within a very short time, you're going to see a lot of African players playing in the NBA very soon, because they are now being exposed and they are being seen, you know, by scouts all over the world. And it's a positive thing for Africa as a continent.
You went to school in Kenya, grew up in Kenya. You know, you're from South Sudan. What's happening to South Sudanese teams and Kenyan teams? How come they're not taking part in these competitions?
Yeah, you know, as you know, that there are fewer slots, you know, and the competition is very stiff, deservedly so. I want to believe that next time or next year, the East African teams are going to step up. The East African clubs, you know, this time around, people are concentrating more on the national team. But from what I see now, everybody's hungry, especially those guys that didn't make it. And they know that if they would have worked a little bit harder, they would have made it. They are hungry than before. They are hungrier. And I know that comes next season, We are going to see a lot of East African teams representing Kenya, Uganda, Burundi, perhaps, because we see Rwanda, the Patriots are representing as well. So it was just a lack of adequate preparation in advance, but I'm very sure they're going to catch up.
Taking part in this tournament, American players, foreign-based players, do you think so far that blend is working out between, you know, these foreign-based players and African players?
Oh yes, it is working out, and we encourage it, you know, because when the foreign-based players come and they play alongside the local players in the region, the local players get to learn a lot of things from them, you know, be it on court or off court, both they get to learn a lot, and when they go, the players that are left behind here will have stepped up to what they have seen. So you know, it's a good thing. We have no problem with it, and we really encourage it.
What next for South Sudan basketball?
We have to go now all the way to the grassroots and tap the untapped talent, because South Sudan has a lot of talent that is very untapped, you know. And we build academies and we step up our game, you know, so that we can have continuity when these old bananas go away.
Yep, you gotta bring in fresh fruit now and then. If you stick with the old bananas, they're gonna spoil. So bring in some fresh bananas. That's Aru Ramadan Chan, South Sudan's first FIBA commissioner for basketball. And Aru was talking with Prince Nesta from Juba, South Sudan.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in Washington, the Washington Wizards have staved off elimination from the first round of the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Wizards beat the Philadelphia 76ers Monday night. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of Philadelphia suffered an injury in the first quarter, as we hear now from the AP's Craig Heist.
Bradley Beal led seven players in double figures with 27 points as the Wizards avoided elimination by beating the 76ers 122-114 in Game 4 of their Eastern Conference playoff series. Philadelphia leads the series 3-1. The 76ers lost big man Joel Embiid late in the first quarter with a sore right knee, and the Wizards and Beal took advantage.
We just got back to playing, you know, Wizards basketball the way we know how, and granted, you know, we had our work cut out. You know, we understand that Joe was out, and, you know, we're uncertain of how it is moving forward, but we took advantage of what was on the floor, and we executed.
Russell Westbrook had another triple-double with 19 points, 21 rebounds, and 14 assists.
We know it's going to go home for us from now on, and we just got to take one game at a time. And you can't win four games or three games in one night. Just win one, and then after that, you figure it out.
The 76ers were led by Tobias Harris with 21.
We got to do a better job, making the right plays while going downhill. Myself, I got my shot blocked a couple times today as well. So just got to evaluate where the defense is at and making the right play.
Craig Heist, Washington.
Thanks, Craig. Joel Embiid was due to have his right knee tested on Tuesday, and I know his health is now a very big storyline in this Philadelphia-Washington NBA playoff series. Embiid struggled with injuries during his first couple of years in the NBA, and he also missed 10 games during the recent regular season after getting a bone bruise on his left knee while playing against the same Washington Wizards in March. Game 5 of this playoff series is scheduled for Wednesday night in Philadelphia, so we'll have to wait and see if Joel Embiid is back on the court. The 27-year-old Embiid has been having his best season in the NBA. He averaged more than 28 points and 10 rebounds a game during the regular season, and he's a finalist for the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award. In more NBA playoff action Monday night, the Utah Jazz scored a 120-113 road victory against the Memphis Grizzlies. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
The Utah Jazz grabbed a 3-1 lead in their first-round series against the Memphis Grizzlies with a 120-113 victory. Donovan Mitchell led the Jazz with 30 points as Utah has rallied with 3 straight wins after dropping game 1 of the series at home.
I think the biggest thing is we didn't come in the locker room like we came in happy for the win, but we didn't really come in the locker room like we got them. Job's not done. It's not finished. And I think that's the message. I know that's the message.
Jordan Clarkson added 24 points for the Jazz, while Rudy Gobert scored 13 of his 17 points in the third quarter.
Be able to keep trusting each other when it gets tough. You know, and when it gets tough, I feel like we raised all of them and we raised it together. It's not just one guy. You know, our communication goes up, our physicality goes up, and it's almost like our awareness goes up.
John Morant topped the Grizzlies with 23 points and 12 assists.
The shots we've been shooting all season, same plays we've been running, you know, early in the game, just missed shots late.
The Jazz can close out this best-of-7 series in Utah on Wednesday. I'm Jim Bernard.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carollo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is Douglas Mpuga.
Let's kick off with football. Egyptian giants Al Ahly are this year's African Super Cup champions. Al Ahly won the trophy on Friday as they beat Renaissance Berkane of Morocco 2-0 to win the African Super Cup. It was a record-extending 7th Super Cup success for Ahly. And now, with 9 titles in the African Champions League, Ahly are the continent's most successful team. This time they were competing as Champions League winners, while Berkane won last season's Confederation Cup, their first major title. Meanwhile, DR Congo will appeal over Guela Kanga's Gabon eligibility ruling. According to media reports, the DR Congo Football Federation will appeal over Confederation of African Football CAF ruling that Kanga is eligible to play for Gabon. On Wednesday, CAF dismissed DR Congo's claim of identity fraud by Kanga, saying the proof offered by DR Congo was not convincing nor sufficient to establish identity fraud. Now, DR Congo Football Federation intends to launch an appeal with CAF's appeal panel. Gabon reached next year's Africa Cup of Nations after finishing runners-up in Group D of the qualifiers behind group winners the Gambia. DR Congo, who finished third, had hoped a ruling against Kanga would see the Panthers lose 10 points and see the Leopards qualify instead. DR Congo Football Federation insists that Kanga, who plays for Serbian club Red Star Belgrade, was born in the Congolese capital Kinshasa in 1985 and allegedly submitted paperwork to back up their claims. In response, the Gabon Football Federation provided documents to prove that Kanga is eligible to play for Gabon, including a birth certificate for Kanga. DR Congo have only 3 days from the CAF ruling to appeal. In athletics, Nigeria has agreed to step in to host the African Athletics Championships in Lagos. Algeria had been due to host the event but had asked for a postponement due to the ongoing global COVID-19 pandemic. The event will now be held between 23rd and 27th June, which gives athletes the chance to achieve qualifying standards for the Tokyo Olympics ahead of the June 29th deadline.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Nigeria Youth and Sports Development Minister Sunday Dare and the President of Confederation of African Athletics, Calcab Malbon, met in Cairo last week to discuss moving the championships to the Teslim Balogun Stadium in Lagos. The event had been delayed 3 times before Nigeria agreed to host the championships, which should have taken place in 2020, before being postponed by a year due to COVID-19. Meanwhile, in South Africa, Caster Semenya, who was denied an opportunity to win a third consecutive Olympic 800 meters gold, will now attempt to qualify for the Tokyo Games over 5,000 meters. She will run in a meeting in Durban, where she must improve her personal best over the distance to be able to go to the Olympics in 2 months' time. The 30-year-old South African is banned from competing in any race from 400 meters to a mile after World Athletics ruled in 2018 that in order to ensure fair competition, women with high natural testosterone levels must take drugs to reduce them to compete in middle races. Semenya, who refuses to take medication to alter her testosterone levels, has challenged the ruling but seen several appeals dismissed. The 5,000 meters is therefore her best chance to go to the Tokyo Games.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. And speaking of the Tokyo Games, we're now 52 days away to the opening ceremony in Japan's capital. The Nigeria Wrestling Federation says it recently invited 20 athletes, including 5 wrestlers who qualified for the Tokyo Games, to a training camp in the capital of Bayelsa State. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted Federation President Daniel Igali.
We're camping, obviously, at the Theater of Dreams in Yanagwa. It's in preparation for the Olympic Games taking place in Tokyo. Of course, the wrestling event takes place from the 2nd to the 7th of August this year.
Do you have plans for test competition and trial tournaments for these athletes before the Tokyo Olympic Games?
We plan to have test events, about 2 test training events, sort of competitions. Before then, though, we have a ranking series tournament in Poland from the 7th to the 12th of June. By the end of June, we're going to have a competition in Yenagoa to test the athletes and use it as a send-off for our athletes to the Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
How many athletes will make it to the Olympic Games, and what's your medal target?
Regarding medal prospects, of course, we believe that a few of the qualified athletes have come of age. We believe that barring injuries and everything being equal, and with the kind of preparations we hope they will have before the final leg of the Olympics, that 1 or 2 of our athletes will come good and hopefully win medals for Nigeria. That's our prayer and hope.
That's Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igali, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka has withdrawn from the French Open. VOA's Gwen Uten has more. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Monday, Naomi Osaka announced on social media that she had withdrawn from the French Open tournament, citing concerns about her mental health. The announcement came just one day after she was fined $15,000 for refusing to hold a post-match press conference following her first-round victory on Sunday. Organizers then warned Osaka that if she continued to refuse media interviews, she could face expulsion from the French Open and future Grand Slams. But on Monday, the world number two ended the standoff by exiting the tournament. In her social media post, Osaka wrote, "I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris." She continues in part, "The truth is I have suffered long bouts of depression since the U.S. Open in 2018, and I've had a really hard time coping with that. Here in Paris, I was already feeling vulnerable and anxious, so I thought it was better to exercise self-care and skip the press conferences." The president of the French Tennis Federation, Jill Moreton, read a prepared statement in response to Osaka's withdrawal.
"First and foremost, we are sorry and sad for Naomi Osaka. The outcome of Naomi withdrawing from Roland Garros is unfortunate. We wish her the best and the quickest possible recovery. And we look forward to having Naomi in our tournament next year. As all the Grand Slams, the WTA, the ATP and the ITF, we remain very committed to all athletes' well-being and to continually improving every aspect of players' experience in our tournament, including with the media, like we have always strived to do."
Later that evening, American Serena Williams inaugurated the French Open's first ever nighttime match under the bright lights inside Philippe Chartier Court. Williams edged out Arena Camelia Begu of Romania in straight sets, and afterwards the 39-year-old revealed to reporters that as a shy newcomer rising up the ranks in the sport, she felt great anxiety during press conferences. But she said while those encounters ultimately made her stronger, she acknowledged the experience could have an opposite effect on Naomi Osaka.
"We have different personalities. And people are different. Not everyone is the same. I'm thick, you know, other people are thin. So everyone is different and everyone handles things differently. So, you know, you just have to let her handle it the way she wants to in the best way that she thinks she can. And that's the only thing I can say. I think she's doing the best that she can."
And the 23-time Grand Slam champion was asked whether or not those involved in the sport are doing enough to help athletes off the court.
"I think you really have to step forward and make an effort, just as in anything, whether it's someone at the WTA or whether it's someone in your life or maybe it's someone that, you know, you just talk to on a weekly basis. So, you know, it's important to have awareness and make that step."
In her latest statement, Naomi Osaka said she will take time away from the court, but wants to work with organizers of the tour to discuss ways to make things better for the players, press, and fans when the time is right. Meanwhile, the French Open tournament continues. Serena Williams is set to face Romania Mihaela Buzănescu in their second round match on Wednesday. That day will also feature the highly anticipated partnership of Americans Venus Williams and Coco Gauff, who will team up for first round doubles action. On Tuesday, first round competition continues on the men's side when world number one Serbian Novak Djokovic will face face American Tennis Sandgren, and Spain's Rafael Nadal will begin his quest for a 14th French Open title in his match against Alexei Popyrin of Australia. And that is all from me, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the June 1st edition of the show. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of...